Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of Life Unapologetic with Athena. Thank you for listening to another episode this week. Thank you to all of you who support my podcast on a regular basis. And thank you to any new listeners that are going to hear this episode and even possibly go back to previous episodes. I pray that you both enjoy and grow as a result of the content of this show. That truly is my prayer. I am just so excited to just be in the mind frame to record this week. I have literally had a rough few weeks, and just being able to have a desire to put pen to paper and come before the mic and really release yet another episode from my heart, to me is really a true blessing. I feel like every season and every time I go through different experiences, it makes me even the more grateful to have my mind. I don't think we really get having a good frame of mind or a good mindset or a good perspective. I don't really truly think some of us get until we experience not having that, the beauty and the honor it is to be in your right mind. And the last few weeks have been just such a struggle. So this week, I'm titling this episode, When Others Walk Away. I know I usually open up talking about the Spiritual Growth Academy and really promoting, but you know, I really had the wind taken out of my sails, and I was really struggling the last 3 weeks. I thank God that I had pre-recorded the last two episodes. I think we did the series on being stuck in transition, and I'm just so grateful that those were pre-recorded in the moment, because there was no way I would have recorded any time within the last 2 weeks. And so what I always recognize and realize is that no matter what God gives you to deliver to the people who are following you, you're going to have to walk through that message. And so I don't think I expected it to come, but I truly had to walk through the experience of being stuck in transition. And I believe that in our seasons, we are always going to go through different points of transitions. There's always going to be change. And so the title of this episode is called When Others Walk Away. Yeah, that I think that says enough. I mean, when others walk away, I mean, we can say that this season, I think we have been calling it a season of refinement or pruning. But whatever we want to label this season, it's just been plain trying. It's been really difficult, really hard to press in. And maybe that's just me, but it has definitely been a very trying season for me. This month really seemed to have started off. I was on a real high, especially developing the Spiritual Growth Academy and just seeing the growth and the fruit of all of the women that have been involved in the process. There were a lot of relationships that had been made in the process of starting my podcast and into going into the development and the production of the Spiritual Growth Academy. And so this season and these last few months really were filled with a sense of purpose and promise. But it quickly came to my realization that with every season that you walk in these positive aspects of your life, or in every opportunity and time that you begin to step out and do something for the Father, for the Lord, and for the kingdom of God, that you're always going to be met with some type of opposition. I truly believe that when you say yes to God and you begin to try to walk in obedience, no matter what that looks like, no matter what vehicle that is, no matter whether you call it ministry, no matter whether you call it serving, whatever it looks like, when you say yes, period, to building the kingdom of God, I believe strongly that the enemy sets out assignments. And I believe also that God allows some of these assignments to be released upon us as part of our pruning and part of our trying of our faith. And so while I feel for me, and I can speak for me, usually I try to look for the opposition so I can, in a sense, brace for it, because I've learned over time that opposition will come whenever I set to do something for the Father. There was a point in my walk with God where when I tried to step out and do something for God, that I would always get knocked down. Like, I would start off really hard for God, and I would get blessed. It was especially when I got like these really big blessings. I don't care if it was a financial blessing, a material blessing, or maybe even a form of deliverance, that on that high of just feeling like you had everything in control and feeling like you were on the right track and feeling like you had definitely experienced something for God, it was always met for me. It was always met with opposition. And a lot of times that opposition would just straight knock me out. I mean, it was at points in my life where the opposition would cause me to backslide. Like, I would literally just throw my hands up because it seemed too hard to keep going. And it even created a fear and an anxiety to want to keep going into the things of God, or to wanting to be a Christian or to be called saved, because it felt like you had a target on your back. And in reality, we do. Like, literally, those of us who say yes to God and yes to the kingdom, and we sign up to be obedient to the Father's word and will for our lives, you do have a target on your back. The enemy is not going to let you go into the territory that he has stolen and allow you just to take it back without putting up a fight. And so the last few weeks, I was met with an unlikely form of opposition. I think it was just something I just wasn't expecting. And why would I, right? The enemy is very strategic. I remember reading Psalm 64, and Psalm 64 really expressed how the enemy and all of those who are in agreement with the enemy really study strategically how to hit us where it matters, or hit us where it hurts, or hit us when we're not paying attention. And it speaks about how they're not even fearful when they put out these attacks, whether it's people in the natural who are serving the enemy and doing dark things, witches, warlocks, or just people who don't care about the things of God, and they attack you or slander you or attack your character, or mistreat you in some way. These people actually really think about doing this before they do it. And even more deeper than that, on the spiritual aspect, they really study our bloodline. They study our weaknesses, and they attack when they know that we're most vulnerable. And so I really felt like the last few weeks, the attack was definitely strategic. And I believe that it was definitely effective in the moment that it was happening. And so what I experienced was people walking away. People walking away who I had built relationship with. People walking away who I had confided in. People walking away in who I trusted and began to really love. And for me, I've always been a really guarded person because of a lot of trauma that I experienced. And so to let people in was something that I just never really did. And so in this season, I found that relationship has been really important, and developing healthy based relationships have been very important. And unfortunately, in order to develop relationships, true, real, authentic, loving relationships, you have to be vulnerable and you have to be transparent. So what does that mean? If I'm vulnerable, that means I'm opening myself up both to good and bad. And so in that, I experienced many people walking away in the last few weeks, I want to say from the vision, but more importantly, they walked away from relationship. And I think that's what really hurt me the most in these last few weeks. And so I must say, for me, as a Christian, I've always had the mindset or the way of thinking is that when people walked away from you, or when anyone walked away from you in any situation, it caused you to feel like you failed in some way, shape, or form because they walked away, right? So if people walk away from you, it has to be something that you did or didn't do. It has to be something that gave them a distaste or a dislike for you and who you are, for what you stood for. And so I found myself wrestling with that mindset in the last few weeks, and it was such a struggle. And I truly wrestled. I really thought about Jacob when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord until the angel of the Lord had to take his hip out of place. It was almost like I was wrestling with all of these dark feelings, emotions, and thoughts. And so the last few weeks, I just must say, have been difficult. And they got really intense. And I noticed that in the heat of the struggle, there were a few things that were highlighted to me. In the heat of really trying to grasp what took place, there were certain things that I feel God began to highlight to me so that I could begin to come out of this dark space. And one was the struggle with identity. Yeah, I really began to struggle with my identity. I began to struggle with who I was. And it seems that when others walk away from you in any situation, you're left standing there with all of these whys, right? Why this? Why that? And often those why type questions begin to attack your identity. And, you know, you begin to really question if you're truly called by God. I will just speak for me. I began to truly question, was I called by God? Was the vision that I just know that God gave me, that I just know that he called me to do that. I know that he called me to carry out that fit like a glove, because it aligned with all of my talents and it aligned with all of my spiritual gifting. Was this truly what God called me to do? It even began to put me in a position of feeling like, was I supposed to carry out this vision in this time and in this season? And so with all of these questions, all of these whys floating around in my head, I began to really question my identity in the Father. Now, we have identity outside of the spiritual realm. We have our name, right? We have our sex. We have our culture. We have all of these acronyms and names and nicknames that people put on us or family members identify us as. And so we begin to take on an identity based on what has been spoken into us and based on what we have experienced in life. And those identities oftentimes begin to manipulate what we do, how we walk, and how we act and react. And it's the same in the spirit. We walk in these identities of either being good or bad. We walk in these identities of either being a sinner or a Christian. And oftentimes there feels like there's this gray area where you're questioning, even if you're in the will of God and you're walking and you're doing the best that you can do in the will of God, you begin to question, are you really called? And if I'm not fully delivered, if I'm not fully whole, or if I feel like I still have struggles in life, that I'm really not worthy to be called to do a work for the Father. And so I really found myself struggling with my identity. I found myself struggling with all of these why questions in my head, all of these question marks floating around. And it was during the struggle of all of these whys that I was in just a really dark place. And as I was really trying to see any type of light in this dark space, a few things began to come to mind as it related to identity. One thing I heard the Spirit of God say to me is, it's not about you. Now listen, people are walking away from you, people that you've confided in, you trusted in, people that said that they love you, that they ride with you, right? Or people who even embraced you and encouraged you and really supported you in so many ways where you would never even fathom that relationship would be over. And so when I heard it's not about you, once again, those whys came up. What do you mean it's not about me? What do you mean that because these people have walked away, it had nothing to do with me? I had to let that sink in. It wasn't about me, who I was, or even what I did in this moment. God was saying, it's not about you. It's not about who you are. And it's not even about anything that you may have done. I began to realize that when others walk away from you, oftentimes it's not anything that you did or anything that you may have said. Granted, sometimes we may do things or say things that may or may not be good, bad or indifferent at times, but it triggers something in a person. And at that right or wrong time, that trigger or that effect or that word or that action or even that time causes something that they have been dealing with in that moment that they react, right? And in that reaction of that moment, they walk away and you're left sitting there like, okay. I had to realize that I couldn't carry others' reasons on my shoulders as to why they walked away. I couldn't allow it to determine who I was or what I was called to do. I couldn't allow it to affect my purpose in God. Even though I had all of these why questions, I had to trust in what I was hearing in my spirit as God was saying, it's not about me. I had to truly believe that people make decisions because they have to make decisions, and it doesn't make them bad. And sometimes they're not good. Sometimes it is. They are toxic. But there are times where people aren't necessarily toxic, but they have to make decisions for themselves. And while that may be uncomfortable for us, who we seem to get the short end of the stick, we have to realize that honestly and truly, it's not about us. And we can't allow people's decisions to walk away to determine our identity, to determine our worth, to determine our position in the Father, to determine our call that God has had on our lives. The other thing that I kept hearing in my spirit during this time of struggle was others' reactions do not define who I am. Others' reaction in any season, in any situation, or any circumstance defines who you are. I truly had to think on this because for as long as I can remember in my life, it always seemed that all who I allowed to be close to me seemed to determine who I was in that moment of interaction or as a result of their reactions. They always seem to define who I was, right? I mean, our parents, our cousins, our distant relatives, our coworkers, they always seem to give you a sense of identity, right? Whether it was positive or negative, it seemed like others always had a say on who I was and determine how I would feel throughout that day. I'm just talking about me. I used to be a very insecure person. I used to be very open to discouragement. I used to be very open to caring what others said about me or caring the reactions that others had about me. And oftentimes I used to walk around because of others feeling like I wasn't good enough. Oftentimes I walked around feeling like I wasn't worthy. I had never even thought about that. But in some senses, I didn't feel worthy to be who I was or to have what I had or to do what I was doing. And at the end of the day, a lot of times I felt plain inadequate. I mean, I really felt like I wasn't good enough for those certain times or situations that I was walking in. And so I quickly realized that I was dealing with and maybe even partnering with the spirit of rejection. Now, listen, the spirit of rejection for me has been a very familiar spirit. And I say spirit because I know now because of the word of God that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, you know, principalities and dark forces. We really wrestle with different spirits and different demonic forces that may or may not come through people, may or may not come through circumstances and situations. But I know when I'm dealing with rejection. I have been rejected so much in my life by those even closest to me that anytime that spirit comes around, I am completely clear of its traits and its actions, and I know when I'm dealing with it. So I quickly realized I was dealing with this spirit of rejection. Now, because I've dealt with it, it caused me to walk in some old experiences, some old hurtful things that caused some things to come up that I thought that I was healed from, that I thought that I had gotten a grasp on from different occasions of family and different negative interactions with family members, different interactions with those who I loved, even different interactions with my husband. And so it really caused me to really go into a dark space. Now, the spirit of rejection can truly make you feel like there's no hope. Let me tell you, I mean, you can feel completely desolate. I say desolate because it makes you feel like you're in a desert and there's no water, there's no life to the right, to the left, in front or in back of you, and you're really just in a hopeless place. And so as I struggled with this spirit the last few weeks, I began to feel shame. I began to feel fear, and I began to feel anxiety. Those were the three things that I could identify, because I'm a strong and huge believer that you really, when you're dealing with your emotions, you need to give them a name. You need to identify what emotions you're struggling with so that you can fight. You can have an idea of what you should or should not do. And so as I identified shame, and as I identified fear, and as I identified anxiety, I wrestled with those things. I began to think of all those who had taken their lives because of this very struggle. I thought about that time where we were seeing on the news where very prominent pastors had taken their lives, or where people who seemed to be on a good track had taken their lives. And in that moment of dealing with all of these different emotions and just feeling so dark, it became like relevant. And, you know, we have to be huge advocates for suicide. I will testify that I did attempt suicide in my 20s. And as a result, I went through an experience that I don't wish on anybody, but I do know that in those moments of despair and in those moments of loneliness and in those moments where you are dealing with different forces and different spirits and different darknesses, you will begin to ponder on ending everything, because sometimes it feels like not dealing with this stuff is better than continuing to try to press in. And so as I began to think about all of these people who had taken their lives and how it may have seemed easier to do that than to continue to press past the struggle that just seemed so endless, or to just get away from the dark emptiness that seemed unshakable, it was in that moment of thinking, and even feeling all these different emotions, that God began to remind me of the spirit of adoption. I thank God for his spirit, because when we are in our darkest moments, let me just say this, it really pays for us to read our Bible. It really pays for us to pray, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't feel like it's effective. I'm a strong believer that the times that you read your Bible and the times that you pray are the very things that are stored up for you when you can't do it for yourself, when you don't have the desire, when you are battling for your life. It's those past moments of prayer and those past moments of crying out to God and seeking and studying his word and memorizing the promises that the Spirit of God is able to begin to remind you of his word. And so I began to hear the spirit of adoption, and I wanted to look that up because I really felt like I had like an orphan-like spirit. And I know in the Word of God, there's nowhere in the Word that it says that there is an orphan spirit, but there are orphan-like traits that we go through in the body of Christ, or just people, period. And we know orphans don't have a home, they don't have family, they don't have anything or anyone to call their own. And in that, they have no identity, right? Because they don't know their culture, or they don't know, they don't have values, or, you know, just those things that so many of us who have grown up with family take for granted. And so God took me to Romans 8:15, and it says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I was reminded in that moment that our emotions are fleeting and always changing. Like, we truly cannot depend and rely on or lie in or ponder on our emotions, because they change like the wind. They change like the passing of time. I realized that I could not allow myself to be subject to how I felt in those moments, because in retrospect, I was becoming a slave to those negative emotions that I was allowing the enemy to speak in my ear. I was allowing him to speak shame. I was allowing him to speak fear. I was allowing him to speak doubt and discouragement. And in that, in a way, I was partnering with it, because I completely shut down from all the things that I was doing for the Father. So in retrospect, I was partnering with all of these things, all of these negative emotions that the enemy was trying to make me feel as a result of others walking away. In that moment, I had to stand on the word of God. I truly had no other recourse but to stand on the word of God and believe that no matter who walked away from me or who stayed with me, that I was adopted into the kingdom of God, and nothing could take that away outside of my own choice. I honestly had to kind of slap myself in the face and realize that it doesn't matter who walks away from you. It doesn't matter even who stays with you. You're not called because people walk with you or people walk away. It was like God was saying, who are you doing this for? Like, you have a vision and you feel like you have a purpose and you feel like I've called you to do something. You feel like I've called you to partner with my Spirit to do something in the earth. But really, who are you doing this for? Who are you running hard for? Is it for the accolades of people? Is it for people to like you? Is it for people to puff you up or even to encourage you? I mean, If you have nobody to walk with you in your vision, and this is what I felt like God was saying to me, if you had nobody to continue to walk with you in this vision, would that determine whether or not you continue to move forward? Listen, that slapped me in the face, because the reality was, I'm doing this for hurt and lost people. Everything that I do is to build up the body of Christ. The Spiritual Growth Academy that I'm building out, that I've put so much time and effort into, is not for me. It's not for people to praise me. It's not for people to even like me. It's completely and utterly to build the kingdom of God here on earth. It is literally a vehicle of ministry to do what I was called to do in the earth, which is teach. I was called to teach and lead. I know that that's my calling. I feel that I have always had a passion to teach. And so in that moment, I began to just really realize that I couldn't let circumstances and situations of people staying or going with me to dictate how I moved forward. In a sense, another spirit I found myself struggling with was discouragement. Now, that sucker, that can really get you down. Discouragement is one emotion that if you partner with it and if you sit with discouragement long enough, it opens the door to a flood of things that just are not healthy and won't turn out good. I honestly found myself feeling the very emotions and the words I should, or maybe I should say, I felt myself feeling these negative spirits, all of these negative, all of these negative things that I felt like I had been healed from my childhood, from things that loved ones had said to me that caused me to be discouraged, that caused me to believe that I was worthless. And one thing about discouragement is it'll make you lose confidence and it'll make you lose enthusiasm for the vision. Like, one thing I found when these individuals walked away was I lost my confidence. I'm a very confident person. Like, I walk with my head high. I don't walk looking down at the ground. I'm not ashamed to make eye contact with individuals. I'm not ashamed to tell people what God has told me to say. I remember I went to work the other day and I wore a canary yellow cardigan sweater, and I had on some jewelry that complimented it. And I walked in to work and the woman said, "Wow, that's a beautiful color on you." She said, "You know, that color can only be worn by people who are confident, people who are not ashamed of who they are, people who don't mind people seeing them, because it attracts the eye, right? Because it's a loud color in a sense where it's not passive." And I remember thinking in that moment, I am a confident person. That's why I wear the colors. That's why I wear some of the things that I wear, because I am confident in who I am and who God says I am, right? I'm not, my identity is not predicated on what people think or do not think about me. My identity is based on the Word of God and what the Word of God says about me when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I remember, I think I went to the store after work and someone was like, "Wow, you must be a very confident person to wear that color." And it was like, okay, God, what are you saying to me? Right? It was like God was saying, "Athena, you are confident. I've created you to be confident. So walk in that." So as I began to hear people say, "Wow, you must be confident," I realized that it was really God speaking into me. Like, because my confidence was wavering, because my enthusiasm for the vision was wavering, I truly believe that God was trying to speak life into me. And I had to begin in that moment to stand on the Word of God. And I was taken, my mind was remembered the scripture out of 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So all of these negative feelings, all of these feelings of discouragement that brought about lack of confidence and lack of enthusiasm for what God called me to do, I had to remember that God mandated and encouraged and demanded that I take everything that rises up against what he's told me to do, that rises up against who he's told me to be. And I hope that this helps you too, that we are to take every negative emotion and every negative thought captive. We are to literally grab those thoughts in our hand and remember what the Word of God says, because they have no power and no weight against the Word of God. And it really is important that when we are dealing with negative emotions because of our situations and our circumstances, and in this particular instance, because of people walking away, that we have to begin to speak the Word of God back into our lives. The Word of God is light. It is the very thing that makes a dark situation go away. The Word of God says to resist the enemy and he will flee. The Word of God also says where light is, darkness cannot be. If you turn on a lamp, darkness flees. I have a light in my hallway, and when I hit the switch, there's like a second of delay. And I have been really looking at that delay because of my experience. And I kept thinking, wow, even though there is a minute delay of darkness trying to resist that light, at the end of it all, the light wins. Like, darkness does not keep the light from shining. The moment you hit that switch, whether you have a light bulb that is supposed to save energy so it takes a moment to warm up, or there's a moment of the electricity sparking to that light bulb to light, regardless, that light bulb is going to dissipate darkness to a certain distance, right? And so it reminded me that I am light, and that because God says that I am light, because I am adopted into the kingdom of heaven, that wherever I am and whatever situation I'm standing in, I am the light in that dark situation. Even if that dark situation is something that I'm wrestling with, even if that dark situation is my situation or my circumstance. A lot of times we feel like being the salt of the earth and being the light or the lamp set on a stand for the whole world to see, we feel like that means that we're being the light to other people in dark situations, or we're being the light in other people's lives who are struggling with things that seem too difficult. But the reality is that we're the light for our circumstance and situations first, and then it goes on to other people. It's like I always say, you're on that plane and something happens and that oxygen mask falls, that they tell you, put it your oxygen mask on you first so that you can be lucid, right? And be in right frame of mind to help others around you. And so then I started to, as I began to like regain my footing and kind of like just come back into my right frame of mind, I began to look at Jesus. Like, he's our example, y'all. Listen, the word of God in the New Testament is all about the life of Jesus. It's about how Jesus affected the world and turned it upside down, and how Christianity began to spread as a result of the life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so one thing I know that is important is that we always go back to the examples and the reputation that Jesus left for us to follow. And so I began to look at Jesus. I began to look at his times when others walked away from him, because, I mean, listen, it happened to him before it happened to us. He walked thousands and thousands of years ago. And so if others walked away from Jesus, then who are we to wallow in the fact that others are walking away from us, right? And so Jesus walked away as well from others. Like, everybody didn't just walk away from Jesus. There were people that Jesus had to walk away from, good, bad, and indifferent. So I began to reread the Bible, and I began to kind of look at the different examples of people walking away, or Jesus walking away from people. And I think I counted like, it was like 41 instances, in the four gospels, 41, references of people walking away from Jesus, or Jesus demonstrating walking away or letting someone else walk away from him. 41. And some of these were, some of them were like the same account, but I mean, 41 times, like, Jesus encountered or walked away in some instance, 41 times in the four gospels. So let that be encouraging to you, that no matter who walks away from you, God is always going to be right there. No matter who walks away from you, it doesn't discount what you're called to do. When people walk away from you, it is not a markdown on your identity. It does not take away from your worthiness in the walk and the purpose and the vision that God has called you to. I also found it important to recognize that on the occurrences where people walked away from Jesus, not all of them were rooted in conflict. Like, the people who walked away from me in the last month, there was no conflict. Like, there was no disagreements. There were no arguments. There was, quote unquote, no bad blood. And so it goes to show that people will walk away from you, and it's not based on a negative situation or a negative interaction. What truly stood out to me was the instances Jesus didn't let those needs or pleas or attacks or even the unresponsiveness of others to stop him from walking in purpose. Like, he didn't question his identity. He didn't allow it to feel it. He didn't allow it to make him feel indifferent to the people he was called to serve. Like, because those people walked away from him, or because he had to walk away from others for whatever the reason was, he didn't allow the negative interactions or the negative effects from those situations cause him to feel indifferent to the people he was called to serve. In other words, Jesus didn't dislike people because people walked away from him. See, when we experience trauma and we go through hardship, a lot of times we allow it to make us put up these walls. And as we put up these walls, we begin to be indifferent to people. We begin to to guard ourselves from people. We begin to be less open and ultimately less friendly, right? Less receptive of people. And so as Jesus showed, he did not allow these particular 41 situations to cause him to be anywhere indifferent in his purpose. He continued to walk. So I realize that sometimes to follow in the Father's footsteps, sometimes to follow in his example is to walk away from others or even let others walk away from us. Like it, he set the example for us. And in this particular situation in my life and in my ministry, I had to learn, just like Jesus, that it is a necessary evil to walk through this thing. Now, it may not be comfortable. It may be literally unpleasant. I'm just talking from experience, but it is a necessary action. So if you find yourself in the same situation where people have walked away from you and it has devastated you, or you have had to walk away from relationships that have devastated you or caused a lot of questions, a lot of whys, just know that it is necessary in that season for you, and that at the end of the day, God is one who will never leave you nor forsake you, and that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. He stands by us for these particular situations and circumstances. Take, for instance, the story of the rich ruler. Jesus discerned that this man, that his heart was all about the love of money, right? When he came to ask Jesus about being a part of the kingdom of God, Jesus told him what it would take for him to walk. And the rich man wasn't like, okay, I'm going to do that. No, the rich man was like, listen, that's too hard of an ask for me. Like, you can't ask me to give away all my money to come follow you. Like, I've worked really hard to build up this wealth, and you're telling me to follow you, I have to give up everything that I own. And because the rich man didn't understand the spiritual aspect of what Jesus was saying, he misunderstood the situation altogether. Because God doesn't ask us to give away wealth, but he asks us to not idolize the things that we're blessed with or the things that he allows us to have in our lives. And so in this story, this rich man walked away from Jesus. Now, Jesus was for all for the people, right? He came that others would have life, that others would not die and go to hell. That was his purpose. He came to take back dominion from the enemy. And so Jesus could have easily ran after this rich man and tried to persuade him to continue to follow in his footsteps, to continue to seek out the desire to be part of the kingdom of God. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't bargain with him. He let him go. He turned to his disciples at that moment, right? He turned to his disciples, the people who actually wanted more from him, and he explained what just happened, right? He focused his attention on those who wanted to be in his presence. So for me, this was a direct example of Jesus choosing to spend time training reliable people rather than spending more time with a closed person, a closed-minded person, a person with their own issues, whether they're toxic or not toxic. He chose to put his energy where it would be most effective. And so for me, the principle was clear. When truth is rejected, spend your time on those who will receive it, and keep it pushing. I have people who are still part of the vision. I have people who are still supporters. And it was in that moment that I had to realize, Athena, you're spending way too much time focused on those who have walked away and the whys behind it versus the people who are still hungry for the things of God and who are called to your, who are your demographic, who are your sphere of influence to pour into. Like, you need to get it together and you need to focus back on those individuals who are still there ready to learn and to grow in the Father. So I began my search and found another occasion after given a difficult teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, Jesus lost a lot of followers. This was where we get our communion from, and it really popped up in my spirit of one of the real occasions where people who actually followed Jesus and quote unquote loved him and quote unquote supported him walked away from him. John 6:6. So chapter 6, verse 66 through 67 says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. That's John chapter 6, verse 66 through 67. I'm also sure that the meaning of that very verse and chapter we find in the New Testament, we find in the book of Revelations, I think it's chapter 13, verse 17 or 18 or 17 through 18. It asserts 666 to be man's number or the number of man, or depending on how you look at it, it's also associated with being the mark of the beast or the meaning of the beast, which the beast is considered like an antagonistic creature that appears briefly in two-thirds into the apocalyptic vision that John wrote in Revelation. And so it's not coincidence that chapter's number depicts the action of man, right? Man will always foul up in some area. If we continue to look for man's approval or disapproval as an indicator to our worthiness or as an indicator to our effectiveness, we will miss what God is calling us to do altogether. Our sight is to be completely on God and nothing else around us. You think of Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter asked Jesus to allow him to walk out, and Jesus said, "Peter, come to me." Peter began to walk on the water because his focus and his faith and his direction was from Jesus and Jesus alone. And it wasn't until he began to look outside of that direction, outside of that leadership, outside of that person who mattered the most, that he began to sink. And so it behooves us to not take our eyes off the Father. I noticed the same pattern, not just one, but many walked away from God or Jesus, and not just casual onlookers. His disciples, instead of chasing them down and begging them, when these disciples walked away from him to please come back, Jesus just basically went back to his reliable disciples and continued to walk with them. Notice the confidence that Jesus had in his authority. Jesus never appeared desperate. When these people walked away, he never tried to manipulate them to come back. Jesus was never controlling. He didn't try to agree with their reasonings to walk away to keep them. And I have to say, just as my feelings were hurt when people began to walk away from me, I have to believe that if Jesus was feeling all of the emotions and the feelings that we feel in our humanness, right, that he had to feel some form of hurt. I can only imagine all of these people who said they were for him and began to walk away because of the direction that he was given. It had to have hurt him. But no matter what, when I read these 41 different occasions, what I noticed the most is that Jesus remained focused on his mission and his purpose. I mean, to his core, he remained focused on the people and the purpose and the mission that he was called to do. He remained focused on those 12 disciples who he was grooming to continue to take the word of God forth when he would transition to heaven and when the Holy Spirit would come. His focus was on what God had called him to do, and he didn't allow that to deter him in any way. A particular vivid example of Jesus letting someone walk away occurred. We see in the story when Jesus had the Last Supper, right? And Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. And he spoke in advance, and yet he allowed Judas to walk away out the room without like even calling him out, right? He didn't make a scene. He allowed Judas to walk away from him and to do the very thing that would cause him to be crucified. And so, I mean, there's just account after account of instances where people walked away from Jesus, or Jesus had to walk away from people in his purpose to stay on purpose and to complete the purpose. And so I began to realize that Jesus didn't just walk away from toxic people. He also walked away from willing people in his ministry so that he could stay on course, so he could stay effective, and so he could stay within strategy. He never allowed the desire of others to dictate who he spent his time with. Like, it never crossed his mind to come off task or come off purpose, because Jesus was so focused and in tune with the Father through the Holy Spirit that he literally listened to what God was telling him to do. And he literally lived by the word of God practically. We saw him living by the word of God in when he came off his 40-day fast. And I'm so over time, so I'm going to continue. I'm going to begin to wrap it up. But it seems to me that every Christian who is bent on seeking first the kingdom of God, there is always a corresponding number of Christians who are bent on telling us that seeking God the way we're seeking him is wrong. Or there's always going to be opposition when it comes to people for us or against us. And so we have to avoid the pushback of these situations and these circumstances and stay focused on what God has told you to do. I hope that this podcast episode has encouraged you, because I just had to kind of get it out. It's been my real life experience and I needed to just release it. I don't want to come on the podcast and give you guys like these structured episodes or these pre-thought out episodes. I really just want to give my experiences at times. And sometimes if God says to teach and give an episode to teach on something of him, absolutely, I want to do that. But a lot of it has been just my experiences. And so I want to leave you with this scripture, John 10. Verse 17 through 18, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So as I close, in Jesus' words and in his practice, Jesus modeled how to let people go, how to walk away, and how to stay in charge of his calling, right? I'm going to continue to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and I pray that you continue to follow in the footsteps of Jesus by boldly walking away from and finding reliable people in whose life you can make a difference and an investment. I pray that this episode bless you. I thank y'all for sticking around an extra 10 or 12 minutes that I'm over. And I can't wait to see what God gives me to bring next week. But until then, you guys stay blessed, stay safe, wear your mask in Jesus' name, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye now.